folks, welcome to the Jock and Jeno show. It's Jay Clark from the Herald Sun and the five-time All-Australian, five-time Copeland Trophy winner. And geez, didn't he get the most votes from the coaches for his performance on Thursday night? Scotty Penner, the captain of Collingwood. Hello, Scotland.
G'day, mate. How you going?
You're in nice form, mate. Now that you can bend over and pick the footy up off the ground, you got the nine coaches' votes and a nice win, Scotty. Well done.
Yeah, it was a good game. I think the way the boys played was a lot more like how we wanted to play. We were disappointed, obviously, with round one. And yeah, I think we responded really well. Our boy, Geordie DeGoey, he put on a nice little show.
Didn't he? Gary Ablett Senior, we're calling him now.
Oh, I've seen that. That's a little bit outlandish. But
what did you think of his screamer? He took the big screamer and curled around on the right.
I haven't seen that before from him.
Yep.
He's a big boy, and I think it was Markov underneath him, and he did well to hold up. I thought he'd crumble a bit quicker than that. Geordie just looks so confident at the moment, doesn't he? Like, he's kicking, like, one of the snaps he had a snap from 50 and hit the top of the post. Yeah. Like, that's going 70 metre snap.
Yep.
Yeah, he was in ripping form, but even he said last week, he's a little bit of a product of how the ball gets moved up the field, and then if we can get him and our forwards into one-on-ones, they're very dangerous.
It was a great chat. I love all our chats, Scott, but that was last week was unreal, I thought, just because he surprised me. He was so, I mean, we never hear from him in the media, and I understand why, probably a little bit shitty with us with the treatment and that last year, although, to be fair, he probably did deserve a fair bit of it. He'd done the wrong thing a couple of times and was running out of chances, but I love just how comfortable, relaxed, how frank and honest he was, you know, talking about leaving $1 million a year on the table from North Melbourne. I reckon he might be on 600 or 650 a year. Year or something like that, just sort of estimating. So, you know, it was a huge sacrifice. And did you think he was going to be as open as that?
Well, when I said that we've got him, I said to you that he's a pretty relaxed fella and he'll be honest with us. And
I wasn't
too surprised, but I had so many people come up to me and just couldn't believe how articulate he was, how smart, his passion about footy, I reckon, shone through, which was awesome. I reckon that's, you know, half the reason we do this is to get people to be like open, honest, relaxed.
Yep.
Not blowing smoke up us, but I reckon if that was another footy show or anything, he probably doesn't have the time to sit there and just actually talk about what he loves to do and be relaxed. He'll probably just get asked more about, you know, how he kicks goals, what he does. So, straight after the podcast, he said that he loved being on and felt real relaxed and enjoyed it. And he probably won't do too much more media for the year. That's probably him done. But, and as I said, like, went out there, played good footy, loved it. So, but it was good to just, it was great to have someone so open and honest. I reckon probably more so for you, just would have been refreshing to hear someone just talk that freely.
Yeah, it was great. And he certainly fired on the field. What did he kick? Five snags. And I think he got
I was calling him Joey. Joe the Goose kicked a few from the goal square. So he's kicked five, but he's kicked three from the goal square, I think. But nah, he was unreal.
It's a little bit harsh, I thought. When he took that screamer and curled one round on the right foot, do you think, there's talk now he could be one of the top 10 players in the comp. Do you think that's fair or not? Is he ceiling that high?
His ceiling is best player in the game. Like, that's his ceiling.
Yeah.
Top 10 player in the comp, whatever it is. I think the beauty of what we're trying to do at our football club is that balance, that even balance. You know, Geordie last week, Brody Majacek was unreal.
Yep.
Chris Mayne was really good. Crispy, Adam Treloar. So it's about being able to go out there and execute your role. Like, if Geordie wanted to be the main man, you know, he could have taken the massive office last year, but he sacrificed because he wants to be part of what we're building.
Yep.
Our culture, our club, the way we play, look after each other. And yeah, we're trying to be the best team. We don't want the best individuals. We want the best team because that's what's going to get it done at the end of the year.
Well, I want to ask you about that. And we're talking about players' sort of salaries and contracts can always be a little bit awkward at times. But clearly at the end of last year, we know that Collingwood restructured a heap of payments to fit in Geordie, to keep Darcy Moore, to get Geordie Ruffhead, and also, of course, to get Dane Beams. And you're captain of that. I understand you were part of that. Tell us about that process, because it seemed like it was a very Geelong, very Hawthorn type move from you guys.
Yeah, well, I think any club Not only in the AFL, you look at NRL, whether it be the Storm, you look at NBA, like Golden State. There's an element of sacrifice to be the best side, and you know, to able to bring Beamsy in, to bring Ruffy in, you know, guys make little sacrifices along the way to be chase success. It was no different in 2010 when we brought Ball in and we brought Darren Jolly in, that you've got to fit them in, and you know, you're getting two really good players, and you know, hopefully from now on, this our club is one of those clubs where guys are willing to come to us, you know, for effectively what gets known in the industry is unders, because they want to experience the culture. You've seen it happen with Hawthorn and Geelong, you know, a guy like Paddy Dangerfield, arguably the best player in the game. Yep. You know, I don't even think he's one of the top five or six guys highest paid in the league. So that's the culture you're trying to create with your football club, because it's, you know, winning football is really fun, and playing in big games, performing well, and know what you're going to get from your teammate. It's been a really good ride for us in the last sort of 12, 18 months.
How does that conversation go from a club official? So your list manager, Ned Guy, has done, made an incredible impact on your footy club, got Jaden Stevenson. We won't go through all the moves, but I reckon he's made some absolute beauties. How does that conversation start with someone like yourself?
Oh, I think it's really Ned and the accountant punching out the numbers and working out.
Oh boy, we got a problem.
And probably working out what they need to do, and yeah, from there it's, you know, the powers above, and you trust what the football program's going to do and what we can deliver. And
yeah,
I'm all about trying to get a flag. So,
what did you say when they said, Scotty, we need to shuffle some things?
I said, yeah, if it's the best interest of the football club, let's do it.
Do whatever.
Do what we've got to do. If you need to extend me for another 5 years, I'm happy to extend for another 5 years. So,
Benjamin
Button. as I said, it's one of those things where you look at other clubs, you look at people around the world. You know, Kevin Durant, I think he took $12 million less.
Did he really?
Over 2 years fit everyone in.
Because he could be a max guy,
Max guy, easily. Yeah. But he's playing for under max. So, and, you know, we're not the first football club to do it. As I said, Geelong, Hawthorn, all the great sides, people make sacrifices along the way. And and really, like, the obvious one was Geordie. Like, he got offered huge money elsewhere, stayed with us, and that probably allowed a lot of what happened to happen.
Looking like an amazing draft pick, and a great effort for the club to keep him, for him to stay. And it's now, I think, how many guys? I think there might be 12 guys who have recontracted. I know Tay Adams has extended his deal. Crispy is part of that. Will Hoskin-Elliott. So you've had it feels like there's been buy-in.
Yeah, well, I think the club wants to keep this group together. They're in a really good age bracket. You know, Taylor Adams, Crispy,
Brody,
Will, Brody, Darcy, Jamie Elliott, Tommy Langdon,
Steele,
Adam Treloar, guys like that are in a ripping age bracket. So keep them together, and hopefully they see value in keeping few of the experienced balls around for a little bit longer as well, mate.
How long are you going to play for, Scotty?
I don't know. Look, if Ned wants to give me a fiver, I'll take it. Last one was a fiver, so I actually don't know how long I've got left. So I've got one more year after this year.
Yeah.
So, and then see what happens.
The grand final match is this weekend.
Who do we play? West Coast. Oh, okay. Do we? Haven't heard that.
We said the other week that you obviously had the sore back and you've had the postseason surgery. How fit were you for the grand final?
I was definitely right to go. It was just one of those things where, I'd learned to play with.
Yeah.
And then, like, on game day, once you cross the line, you're ready to go. Wasn't happy with my performance in the grand final. I'm looking forward to playing them on Saturday night. I think both sides are slightly a little bit different with how we're playing. I think we've played them like three times in 10 weeks.
Yep.
When you look at actual football, you know, around 17, first final, grand final, and then again now. So it's probably going to be like four times in 12 weeks we've played West Coast. So we've got a pretty good rivalry. Most of the games have been close, although they've won them. So looking forward to having another crack at them.
They beat you down the spine, West Coast, the three times they played you. Much different setup this year. Geordie Ruffhead playing some very nice football at fullback, and Darcy Moore is one of the most improved players in the competition at the moment. We know he had a nightmare year last year with his hamstring, but he was excellent with the intercept marking in that back half round two. Round one, he was very good as well. I tell you what, you'd be excited about him having centre half back to help stop Josh Kennedy instead of...
I think the beauty with Ruffy and Darcy is just they're both athletic guys, so they can...
They're jumping at the footy.
Jump at the ball, they back themselves in the air. Darcy's ability to come off and help, you know, and read the game's really strong. He covered little guys last week. There was one with him and Rioli on a hit-up.
Yep.
You know, shuts him down because he's so quick and athletic. So both these guys The flow-on effect of them standing up as you get, you know, Howie and Langer's playing on matchups they're more suited to. So, yeah, look, as I said, looking forward to having a crack against West Coast. They played really well last week. I think both sides know how each other want to play. It's just who can go out there and execute better.
He looks like a natural backman, Scott.
Forget
Darcy.
Oh, I wouldn't play him forward ever again.
Forget the forward stuff.
Yeah,
100%. Have you provided that feedback to the coach?
No, I haven't, but, he's an absolute jet. At centre half, back, full back, wherever you want. He's in your system. He's unbelievable.
He's
a backman.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not forward. Now. He's a pretty good set shot at goal, though.
Yes, he is.
One thing. So.
I had one of you interview with him about this time last year, I reckon, and lovely bloke. Like, I could have chatted to him for hours. Is he a footy head? Like, is he. I don't know. What's he like around the footy club?
I would say, like, with a shift with football, he's really, really well balanced in his life.
Mm-hmm.
So, studies outside, loves the Melbourne restaurant scene, blah, blah, blah. Footy when he needs to be, can switch off when he needs to be. He's got uni there.
Yeah.
And he's trying to maximise the opportunity that he's got with footy. So, very much. Yeah, like the new age football where it's not all about football, but when it's time to do, I think it was last on Thursday night when we played Richmond, like overheard him saying that during the day he'd been watching tape of Riewoldt to see how he moved and what he needed to do, just freshen up on stuff. So I found that surprising because I didn't think he was that type of guy. But so clearly he's one of those guys that is diligent, whether it's footy, uni, commitments, work commitments, family, whatever.
He's a smart dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a podcast candidate.
I asked that question on Twitter, a lot of people said Darcy. Get Darcy and Peter, the Daily Double. So,
ooh,
see how we go.
That
Father
would be
sons.
Good. Hey, let's talk about the win over Richmond at the weekend, because I saw a blueprint there, Scotty. I reckon you've opened, the club has opened the competition's eyes.
Pandora's box,
exactly right. So not only how you beat Richmond, but how you're going to confront this forward press and tackle pressure that every club wants to emulate at the moment. And what you did was you had all these short kicks, these uncontested kicks. You controlled the ball beautifully in the back half. And Chris Judd called it beautifully, superbly on Triple M late in the first quarter. He said, Confucius say you can't tackle man who take mark.
Yeah.
And that felt to me like it nailed exactly what you guys wanted to do. Yep. Is that a fair point to beat Richmond pressure?
I think it wasn't so much about Richmond's pressure as about what we had been doing through JLT games. Practice game versus Melbourne, Geelong round one. We were sort of speeding the game up when we didn't need to allow pressure to come onto us when we didn't need to.
Yep.
I think we're the highest side in the competition for turnovers in your back half, which is not a stat you want to be leading in the comp. So
no.
We wanted to be slightly more calculated with how we move the footy.
Slow it down a bit?
Well, that's exactly right. Slow the ball down a little bit. Don't get ourselves into a up-tempo a play on transition game when we don't need to. I think I said after the game it might have been a slight overcorrection. I don't know if we're going to get 177 marks every week, but I don't think we were slow. We were just a bit more calculated. We still moved the footy quick. We had 60 something inside 50s. We kicked over 100 points. So it was that high powered offense with tempo was still there. I think we just we didn't just take dumb risks out of the back half. Like you hit a kick, you just play on for no reason, and then all of a sudden you just got to bomb it into your forward line, which most back lines in this day and age set up for. So we were slightly more calculated, got a little bit more field position before we sped up, and happened to work against Richmond. So I think some sides will probably look at it and think we can do that, but you've also got to understand your team, how you want to play, how you take away their strengths and weaknesses, because it was still a pretty close game until probably 15 minutes to go when the margin blew out a little bit, but until then it was still a 3-goal game.
I saw you sell a little bit of candy earlier, and is it in the first quarter down near the boundary line? Who did you get?
Sean Edwards, but he gets a few as well, so
does he?
He's probably due to cop a little bit back.
Did I also see late in that third quarter Richmond have a... I mean, it's the 6-6-6 rule now.
Yes, they had a 7.
Right. Yeah. Was there a sneaky 7th in their back half?
There was. Yeah. So
did you see that at the time?
Yeah, because everyone was barking out on the field. They had... I think it was late in the third. And it wasn't a deliberate thing, but they had 7 defenders, 6 through the midfield, and then 5 forwards, and our backs were going off their heads, and our forwards were screaming. And
what were they screaming?
They've got an extra.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have an extra. They've got an extra...
Free kick.
Yeah, so... No, well, it's a warning. So you don't get a free kick on your first offence.
Don't you?
So you get one warning, so which I think is like going to create chaos, because if you get a warning, you may as well just burn one warning a game, because it gives you a little bit more time to reset. So I think Brad Scott said on the weekend when they played Brisbane that their centre bounce stuff wasn't working well. They were a little bit discombobulated, blah, blah, blah. So it's like, well, you could actually just send your winger back, cop a warning, take 30 more seconds.
There's
just
no punishment for it.
Reset. Well, you're technically getting punished if you cop a warning. If you do it again, it's a free kick, but no one's going to make the same mistake twice. So I wonder now whether, because clubs are all over this sort of stuff, and I was after the game, I was like, I said to Bucks, I was like, why don't we use this as a tactic? If we're not happy with something, or we need to get a rotation or whatever.
It's 30 seconds to go in a game.
Just send someone back, cop a warning, move them back to where you want, or get the preferred positions that you want, and then just go from there.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, exactly. You would do it.
If I was at Hawthorn Western Bulldogs on Sunday,
yeah.
Hawthorn desperately trying to hang on to a lead in the last few minutes. Bulldogs have got all the momentum. Next time, why don't they just swing a seventh behind, cop a warning, and slow play?
Yeah. Well, you get a warning, and then you've got to reset. So you've got seven behind, get a warning, and then you've got to go back to six, six, and six.
They had to move.
You have to move, but that Richmond didn't get a warning.
Oh, they weren't spotted.
They weren't spotted, so they got away with it.
Right.
Yeah, so but if you get a warning, then...
Well, you may as well take...
Yeah, run, so that's what I'm saying, but if you can... You might want to cop a warning to then be like, righto, just
because
reset.
You can get away with it.
Yeah, or you might get away with it.
As Richmond did.
As they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it... Did you say you were at Hawthorn? Free kick or not? I've heard about it, but...
Yeah.
Free kick?
Well, I wrote the match report and said that Sicily got sucked in and it was another sort of ill-disciplined moment. There was some strong feedback on Twitter about that, especially from the Hawthorn crew that said it wasn't a free kick. Look, this is an unpopular opinion and it probably goes against the bulk of public sentiment, but I think if there is a closed fist whack on the football field, then that is absolutely a free kick. I don't after seeing the Andrew Gaff punch to Andrew Brayshaw, and I know he didn't mean to hit him in the jaw. He clearly meant to hit him in the chest, and Brayshaw just lowered himself. But any closed fist on the football field, I think, is unacceptable. Pay the free kick for that.
Just because of the outcome it could create.
Yeah.
Too, yeah.
I'm happy with push and shove with the bumping and the bit of the bravado and the show of strength, intimidation. I love all that as much as the next person.
Yeah.
But I think as soon as you start whacking people in the guts and in the sternum or higher with a closed fist, like, I think our game's moved to the point where...
We don't want that
anymore. Yeah. So I'm sort of comfortable with the free kick, although the TV camera doesn't exactly show it. You agree?
Or? Oh, yeah. I think if it's a closed fist, and that was made clear to us in pre-season when the umpires come out.
What was made clear to you?
That if you closed fist punch someone, that you're running the risk of free kick. So you might do it and you might get away with it because the umpire doesn't see it.
Yep.
But if the umpire thinks you've closed fist and you've whacked someone...
Free kick.
They're going to pay a free kick. Yep. So you know it. And the crap thing, I suppose, is for forward defenders is... Defenders, if you do it, it's a shot at goal. If the forward does it, it's just a free kick.
Yeah.
So the risk versus reward's extremely in the forward's favour.
So did you think it was a free kick, Sicily?
I've seen...
From behind?
I've seen it from behind, so I don't actually see what happens. I don't see his hand or anything. It just looks like he hugs him almost.
Yep.
And then free kick gets paid. When I seen it, I was like, well, that can't be a free kick. But then someone's like, oh, but he had his fist closed. And I was like, well, then you're running the risk. You're allowing an umpire to potentially jump in and make a decision.
On 6-6-6, what do you think? There's heaps more room for you guys to do your thing in the middle.
Yeah, I love it. I reckon it's...
Does it change the
game? Yeah, well, I think I said... Against Geelong, I would have loved to have been able to put one back when we were 5 points up to protect your defence, but it allows the game to flow. It allows every time there's a goal kicked, it's a new opportunity, because when you win a clearance, you're going into pretty much even numbers. Richmond are probably the only side so far, from what I've seen, that try to do something a little bit different.
What's that?
With, you know, they'll start Lambert as a sixth defender, but he sprints in off the back. Their winger goes straight back to pick up. They basically leave a wing free to support their defence. I think it's good. Like the Brisbane game versus North, the scoring was high paced, and I think Marvel Stadium plays a part in that. So, but yeah, it feels good being in the centre square, knowing you don't have two guys running in off the wing, you don't have two coming off the back of the square, guys just buzzing through. So,
how much more room do you feel like you've got? How much more time?
Yeah, heaps more time, because guys can't. You used to get forwards that start off the back and they would sprint through So there's just chaos coming everywhere. Whereas I feel like now it allows the centre bounce crew to go to work. You've got a bit more time. You can win clearances. You might be able to get out, hit a target because, yeah, you, like all your defenders are thinking defence. Yep. They're not coming in. They're not trying to pressure. So you've got a lot more space to create through there. And you can take so much more penetration. I think we're seeing clearances go like a lot deeper.
Yeah. We haven't seen the score increase though.
Not yet. I think it will as time, as sides adjust and figure out. Like 2 weeks is a pretty short sample size.
We are talking before the Mason Cox tribunal hearing. Do you think he, just quickly, do you think he will get off? And what do you think of that incident? When we put this to air, it'll obviously be already decided. Yeah, but what do you think should happen?
I'm thinking if it goes to air, Coco's decision's out.
Yep.
I think he'll be free to play.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, I heard, I think it was Chris O talk about that it was 35 metres off the ball and shouldn't be hitting players. And I get that. But I think where the ball was, if I think Josh Thomas had it, if he snaps that over his shoulder, Cox is in line of play.
Yep.
And then that one-on-one would have happened. So I just feel like Cox has done like a tiny, tiny little bit of body work. Grimes didn't see it coming.
In the contest.
If that snaps over his shoulder, Cox is literally taking a mark. Or there's a one-on-one contest there. So, yeah, I think to say that it wasn't in play is not right. Because I feel like in play is literally 50 metres either side of the ball. Yeah. Like if you've got it, it's 50 metres forward of the ball because you're trying to jostle for position. You know, you look at a stoppage, there's always hits on the body to try and win that body position first. So
yeah,
I think he'll get off, but I'm unsure.
Are you confused about what contact is permitted off the ball?
I think it's hard because clearly Grimes wasn't aware that Coxie was there, and I don't think Coxie had any malice trying to hit him, like, because he could have done some serious damage, Coxie, if he wanted to. So a little bit on the players to understand that, because the Liam Jones one on Rewalt, that, you know, that's a big hit off the ball. If your player is aware of it, like you look at backs, they'll smash forwards off the footy to try and block their run, check their run.
Yep.
So if forwards aren't aware of it and you go to check them, what do? You got to sort of like pull back. So it's an awkward one because when the guys aren't expecting it, you know, if Grimes expected that, nothing would have happened. But I still don't think there was enough contact in it to warrant a week. But yeah, wait and see. What do you think?
I didn't think there was much in it at all. Like I think he should get off, but I'm worried about the medical report saying that he's got concussion, because if you make contact...
Did Richmond put a medical report out saying he's got concussion?
Richmond have written a medical report on the incident, and I think it'll come out tonight, but I believe that there was either concussive signs or symptoms, which doesn't all go well for Coxie, because if you make contact to someone's head and they have concussion or believe to have concussion, then...
Yeah, yeah. Because I always said if you elect to bump and there's concussion, then you've put yourself in a grey area. So, but if Richmond, this is probably just hypothetical, but if they had a medical report tonight and said, like, actually he doesn't have any concussion symptoms and there's nothing in a report, would then that just get thrown out?
Well, I think it wouldn't meet the low force criteria. Okay.
Yeah.
But I think the Richmond medical report's pretty crucial, right?
Yeah, sweet.
Before we finish up, West Coast game this weekend. Have you spoken about the grand final?
Yeah, I think we've said that publicly as well, that we reviewed it on the first day back that the whole group together.
This week.
No, I haven't. Not this week. I think the beauty of playing a Thursday night game is you just fly under the radar, because there's Friday night, all Saturday, all the Sunday. You just don't have to really do any media. So, for us, like we've had a review day and all that. We haven't... Like we acknowledge that it's going to be spoken about externally.
Yeah.
But we also acknowledge the prelim was going to be spoken about externally, and it doesn't play a part. I don't feel like we were less motivated to beat Richmond because we beat them in the prelim.
Yeah.
I don't feel like West Coast are going to think, oh, well, this is just a walkover because we knocked them over in the grand final.
Yeah.
There's no added motivation for me to try and beat West Coast, because there's enough motivation on the line. I want to get to 2-1 with our record, and most of the guys are the same. We're excited to get back out there on the G and have a crack.
What do you think when you think back to that last play, the McGovern mark?
Yeah,
he kicks. Well, the Vardy.
Yeah,
he goes forward to Liam Ryan.
Yeah, yeah. Liam Ryan goes to Sheed. Well, when the night I got my life membership, I had to sit there and watch that doco.
The AFL
at
launch.
The AFL launch, they launched that doco. So I'm sitting in the crowd. And
next to Heath Shaw.
Previously, I'd said I'd never wanted to go to one of those AFL launches because I know they do those docos there. But the only reason I ever wanted to go is if I was, A, I'd won a flag, or B, I was the premiership captain, had to speak. So I was like, that's just the only time I wanted to go. Yeah. And funnily enough,
it hurts.
It's what?
Because it hurts.
No, because I just, oh yeah, even when I haven't made a granny or whatever, I'm always envious of that opportunity that the captain got or the team gets to go and do that. So never want to go. And then funnily enough, the year I get life memberships, the year I lose the flag by 5 points. And but yeah, I sat there, I watched, like, the doco was, yeah, it hurt, but it was cool to see, you know, even their stories about how Dom Sheed should have been on the bench, Liam Ryan should have been on the bench, McGovern said he slipped over previously and then just flew for the mark, Vardy had slipped over up the field and sort of no one realised he'd slipped over, and then by the time he bobbed up, the ball fell in his lap. So yeah, it was one of those things where I sat there and grin my teeth and bear it. And yeah,
what did the Magpies, if that situation presented itself again, what would the Magpies want to do better? What would your team want to do better in that last play? What was the breakdown?
To be honest, like, we forced them wide the whole way. It was probably just the inability to read the 2v1 that they had so deep in the pocket. I don't think we picked that up.
Yep.
And the kick went, and we seen Braz and Rioli, and then all of a sudden Sheed popped out of the pocket. And we're like, wow, where did he pop up from? So just that accountability to sort of pick up where he was.
Not easy in the last 3 minutes of a game where you've put absolutely everything into it.
Oh, well, I didn't even realise Vardy was there. So the ball got kicked, and I remember, like, turning around seeing Goldie, and then Vardy just popped up like a sprinkler.
Yeah.
So where's he come from? Yeah. Like, I sort of thought I'd checked, and it popped up, and, yeah, it took a pretty good mark.
So when you're in-game, how much of awareness do you have about where everyone else is? Like, is it just sort of – is that a captaincy thing or just a new thing?
No,
like,
I think it's players and how they see the game.
Yeah.
I feel like I've got a decent awareness on defensive transition of where people are and – dangerous space and where you want to force side. So,
yeah.
You know, Liam Ryan's mark was on a 2-on-2 contest. It was a pretty good mark. So,
yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, looking forward to having a crack at them.
Oh, I bet you are. I think that's all for the Jock and Journo Show, Series 3, Episode 3. We want to thank the George Scotty here on Collins Street because that's where we record these things. We appreciate their support. Get down here. The Comedy Fest is on, Scotty. Are you going to see any comedy?
Maybe. Pete Hallier?
Yeah, funny.
Might go see him.
Come here before you go to the Comedy Fest, before you go to the footy. Great Vietnamese menu. Drinks. It's beautiful in here. So get down to the George, and then maybe the next day, go down to the St. Andrews Beach Brewery, Scotty. They've got plenty of beautiful
down
frothies.
On the peninsula. Yeah, absolutely.
It's outstanding down there as well. But, mate, good luck.
Thank you.
Slightly big game on Saturday night.
It is. 6 points up for grabs.
4 points up for grabs.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Well, we appreciate you listening in. We're going to have another guest next week. This has been Jay Clark and Scotty Penderbury on the Jock and Journo Show. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.